take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 6 this morning. Luke chapter number 6. And I hope that you will connect this message with the message from last Sunday. If you were not able to join us last Sunday, I'm going to read the verse from last week, and then we'll pick up the reading into our text for this Sunday. And I believe that this will help in seeing these two verses together, because there is a connection. Really, the message has two points this morning, and I don't think they'll be too difficult to follow through on and to see what the Lord has for us. So the text this morning is Luke chapter 6 and verse number 40. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 40. If you'll look at that verse, the Bible says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, I want you to think on that and maybe place that verse in your notes, but I want to go back and let's read these two verses together and look at verses 39 and 40 together. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, there are themes related to these two verses. We looked at a number of things last Sunday morning, but now we pair these two verses up and, of course, consider the context and all that's being said here. And I pray that this will be a help, and I believe that this can provide hope for you in this day in which we live. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time and direction the message today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand before these dear folks. We thank you so very much for the investment of the time and energy for people to be here today. We pray for those that are away from us. We have a number of folks dealing with health issues and accidents through the course of the previous week, and we pray that you minister to them right now. We pray, Father, that you be at work in the heart of the one that may not know Jesus as their Savior. Pray that you draw them to yourself even today. We pray for the believers to have their hearts stirred as well. Guide and direct me in all that I'll say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 24 and 25, the Bible says that the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet, speaking of Jesus Christ, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John chapter 15 and verse number 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. What do we learn from this passage of Scripture? And I mean, these are short verses. They just don't seem to be so significant that we'd belabor the point and spend a lot of time on what appear to be short verses, but there is so much for us here in 2019. Who is the disciple and who is the master? In the context, can a disciple expect to see clearly if he has been trained by a blind master? Can a disciple expect to be clear? Can he expect to see clearly if he's been trained by a blind master? We would absolutely say, "Well, of course not. No way." Last Sunday morning, again, the blind leader and the blind follower, the blind leading the blind, and they both end in the ditch. I mentioned three areas last week, and I expanded my thinking this week. I shortchanged you in the service last Sunday morning, so I'm going to make up for it today. Last Sunday morning, I said we have blind politicians leading blind people. We have blind parents leading blind children. We have blind preachers or pastors that are leading a blind congregation. But you know, more than that, we have blind philosophers that are leading people. And somehow, most often, they're given talk shows. And they then spread their blind philosophy, and people soak it up and just say, well, I saw it there, and it must be true. Or they're given the capacity to start their own blog. And so we have all kinds of philosophies that are put out into the blogosphere. And so we have the blind leading the blind in that arena. We also have blind professors. And the blind professors are leading a blind educational system. And that goes around the globe. Maybe next Sunday I'll add some more to it as well. But now, see, there's five at least. And if we take those five areas and we begin to recognize that blind parents and blind politicians and blind philosophers and blind pastors and blind professors, all of these kinds of things result in blind people. And I would have to say this morning, Lord, please don't let me be blind. Please do not let me be blinded. Can the blind follower ever ascend beyond the blind leader? Well, it draws our attention to this standpoint. Really, everyone in this room is following somebody, and everybody in this room is leading somebody. Not me, Pastor. I'm not following anybody. Well, you're sitting here this morning, and you're listening to me, and many of you have come back on more than one occasion, which would seem to indicate that you're following something. So far, you haven't at least said these words, that guy's an idiot, and I'm never going back. I mean, so far, you haven't done that. But the truth of the matter is that pulpits are filled today with blind leaders. And they're leading congregations blindly. Again, I mentioned this last week. It's not hard for many politicians to gather a great following and to have grand audiences and people that can just seem so excited about what they're saying. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, how could you be so blind? I mean, at times we'll hear a politician make some of the most crazy statements, and we'll think to ourselves, how in the world would that make sense to anyone? But we have to then turn our attention and say, oh my goodness, what's more than that is that someone elected them to that position. Blind politicians, blind parents, blind preachers, blind philosophers, blind professors. With these two verses in mind, can the blind follower ever ascend beyond the blind leader? Let's answer that question this morning. Two different themes for us in this one verse, verse number 40. The theme of what happens to the blind follower when they have a blind leader. What happens to them? Well, the Bible says they both fall into the ditch. We then go into verse number 40. The disciple is not above his master. If I'm following someone that's blind, I'm in all likelihood going to be blind because they're not telling me the truth. Do you remember last Sunday morning when we looked at the issue of blindness? The two great protections against blindness are found in this book and in those that adhere to this book. I need to know the truth. The truth is what will set me free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to know the truth. And I want to follow people that are proclaiming the truth. So let's look at the first part of the truth from verse number 40. Again, right on the heels of this blind leading the blind. Number one, here's the results of blind leadership and a blind following. Here are the results of a blind leadership and a blind following. The disciple is not above his master. The disciple is not above his master. The Bible indicates to us that there is a significant reason why the follower is blind. They're blind because they've not been told the truth. So if I'm a politician this morning and I'm blinded to the truth of God's word, then I'm going to lead the people that are following me down a bad path. It's interesting how blind politicians beget blind politicians. And they'll often tell you who influenced them in the direction that they're going, and you look back at generations of blind politicians that have led to more blind politicians. What about blind parenting? This morning, it is entirely possible that we have a whole group of people that would say, Pastor, I was really raised by parents that were blinded to the truth. And so for years and years and years, I had no idea the truth that was out there. I was blinded by the leadership of blind parents. There are some that would say, I was blinded by a pastor. And I just continued on in it because I thought that's what we were all supposed to do. And it was years later that I was confronted with the truth and came to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. If you are following a blind leader, you will never ascend beyond your blindness. You will never see so long as you are fixed on a blind leader, which means we must all search as to who we're following. I want to take stock in who I'm following. So if I were to come to you today and I were to say, okay, put yourself right in the middle of your palm and then give me the five most influential people on your life right now. The five most influential people in your life right now. And I would do this in the ministry and I'd say, okay, who are the five most influential people? In the process of interviewing here and so forth, one of the questions that came up was, who are the men in the ministry that are influencing you most today? The founding pastor at our church there in Greenville, Tennessee, Bill Hall, Dr. Bill Hall, huge influence on my life. I reference my dad. I'd say my dad's a huge influence on my life. When we begin to track all these individuals and you say, okay, I've got these men that are influencing my life, and I pick up the phone and I call them and say, okay, they're influencing the directions of my life. They've had an influence and they're seeing the truth. They're going to lead me in truth. But if they're blind, I'm going to continue on in my blindness. See, you don't want to be told that you're blind, but really it takes a lot of self-inspection and honesty to say, okay, the ones that are really influencing me really are not adhering to the truth. Brother Wiebe is here this morning, Pastor Wiebe, and I remember, I know this was a few years ago for both of us, he is a dear man in the ministry. And I remember sitting there in what is now, I think it's now Stratton Hall or something like this now, but the university would bring in men like Pastor Wiebe, and they'd have a panel. And he'd be on that panel, and he'd be speaking to several hundred preacher boys. And on that panel, we'd have the opportunity to ask questions and to hear from men that were in the faith and that had great wisdom in the faith. And I'm sure back then I'm sitting there saying, man, I'll never be like him. Like, he's got to be in his late 40s. And I'll never be in the ministry that long. But I remember very, very well the influence of men like this that would come down at the university, and they'd say, boys, preach the word, stay instant, in season, out of season. Those are the kinds of things. I want to look around in my life, and I want to say, okay, who are the ones that are directing me? Are they blind? Young people, you need to do the same thing. If you have parents that can see and that know the truth, they ought to be your top two. But then you're looking around, you're saying, okay, I've got friendships here and I'm actually following them. Don't follow them if they're blind, because there are consequences. In each one of these settings, we recognize that we're all actually following somebody. And by the way, we're also leading somebody. The blind leading the blind. the blind leading the blind. I'm never going to ascend my blind leader so long as I continue to adhere to their blindness. You know, it's a tragedy when you consider the real effect of blindness on our society. How many times have pastors kept their membership in darkness and blindness, and in so many cases, because of their false teaching, lead them straight into an eternal hell? How many times has that politician ruined a country, a nation, because they've been blinded to the truth of God's word? How many times has a blind professor robbed the faith of a youngster, and that youngster's not wise enough, not seeing clearly enough, and a blind professor will rob them of the truth, and they'll mock the word of God, and they'll say things that are just crazy. I'm just going to call him out because he needs to be called out. But if your young people think Bill Nye, the science guy, is the genius of all geniuses, you're seriously following a blind individual. We must be alert, because society is not telling us the truth. If it varies away from this book, we must follow this book. Whether it's the man in the pulpit or the man in the classroom, I stay with the Word of God. But pastor, this philosopher has just a tremendous blog. This philosopher has a tremendous television show. I mean, there's all kinds of people flocking to them. You've got to understand that he's just wonderful. Not if he's blinded to the truth of the scriptures. Be vigilant. The first aspect is that one that says, listen, I'm the disciple, I'm under the leadership of a master, but he's blind, and I absolutely will follow in his pattern. How many times have I observed through the years, being in the ministry, both the youth pastorate and now in the pastorate, I've observed blind parents. And do you know what they train up? Future blind parents. I don't know why my grandchildren are so bad. Well, who are they being trained by? Well, my children. Well, how did you train them? Think in terms of this when you train your children. You are training right now the one who's going to be training your grandchildren. Yikes. Pastor, that's scary. Well, we are parenting the next generation, which is going to be parenting. Let's take this a little bit further. Do you know right now you are training someone else's future husband? Yikes. You are training someone else's future wife? Oh, that's scary. I know, and I don't want to be blind. I do not want to be a blind parent that is training up blind sons that will become blind husbands and then blind parents. Why? Because it's unlikely that they'll ever exceed my training if they do not come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you see how this impacts all of society? Do you see how this has carryover to every arena? The first aspect here is the results of blind leadership and of blind following. How can any blind politician ever come to the truth if they do not come to the Word of God? How can a blind parent ever come to the truth if they do not come to the Word of God? How can a blind professor ever know the truth if they do not come to the Word of God? The Bible is what separates light from darkness, sight from blindness. Do you know this book? The results of blind leadership and a blind following. The disciple is going to wind up being just like his master. He's not above his master. He's going to follow the same path. Unless, and let's look at the second part this morning. Unless they come to the truth. Look at the latter part of the verse. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that is instructed will become like his teacher. If his teacher is blind, he cannot expect to be seeing. Both verses are intended, listen to this, to discredit the teaching of those blind guides, the scribes and the Pharisees, and we contrast it with a truthful teacher, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now please, with me this morning, as we look at the second part of this verse, would you think with me for a moment about your adherence to the Word of God and to the following of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've come this morning thinking that it's best to follow whatever the preacher says, folks, you're going to be sadly disappointed because I have nothing to offer. If you've come this morning thinking that we're going to meet around a hierarchy or some kind of council of genius and everything like this, you're going to be sadly mistaken, because this church is not, and I trust will never be, based upon man's philosophy. But it will always be based upon the written Word of God. The Bible is what separates me from blindness and darkness, and the Bible is what gives me sight, because it is the only place that I can go for truth. Can I just insert this parenthetical thought? The Bible is what tells us exactly how we got here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We are not the product of chance. We are the product of a special designer. The Bible tells me exactly why I'm here. I have a purpose. I've been made with a special design and a special plan in mind. God has gifted me in a certain way to fulfill my obligations at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. God's gifted each one of us. But God has also told me where I'm headed. And do you know that every person in this room this morning has an eternal destination? You are going someplace. You will spend someplace for all eternity. And the Bible details it as one of two places, heaven or hell. Now it is my desire to tell you the truth. Say, Pastor, I don't want to hear you say these things. Okay, would you like it if you went to the doctor and your body was full of a tragic disease and the doctor said, hey, you're looking good, be warmed and filled, have a good afternoon? Oh, Pastor, no. I'd sue that doctor. Yeah, I understand. Well, why aren't there more lawsuits against pastors that are telling people falsehoods? Because they're not telling the people the truth about the Word of God. That it is the hope, it is the nature of God's desire for us. Now, as we look at the results of blindness and blind leadership and blind followership, we recognize that it's having an impact upon all of our society. There's all kinds of statements that are being made by these professors, by these philosophers, by these parents, by these politicians. All these kinds of individuals are spewing blindness. But then there's someone that's exposed to the truth. And this, my friend, is the difference. This is where I would pray that we all find ourselves. Truth detectors in the political world. Truth detectors in the philosophical world. Truth detectors in our parenting. Truth detectors in our schoolrooms. Truth detectors in the pulpit. Why? Because we are not blind, we are following the one who's brought us the truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. The disciple is not above his master, but the disciple can be as his master. One commentator said, the disciple seeks to be like his master, conformed, mended, repaired, restored, perfected into his very image. So follow with me here on the second point. The first one is that of the results of blind leadership and a blind following. The second point, the results of truth in leadership and truth in the follower. Number one, as we consider following Jesus Christ, we follow his actions. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So my life can be like the Master, not in sinless perfection. Do not see it that way. It's not intended for us to think as though we're going to reach perfection this side of heaven. But the Bible says that as I get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, my life can be mended to reflect Him. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I have the opportunity to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in what I say and what I do in my actions. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I have the opportunity to reflect these very attributes of God. I mean, literally, when the people there in Antioch walked down the street, they said, there goes a little Christ. There is a little demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they marked them because they were adhering to what Jesus taught and what Jesus said. I want to reflect the Lord as my leader. I want to reflect the Lord in my following. I want people to know that I've been exposed to the truth, and I want that to be demonstrated in the things that I say and the things that I do. We follow His actions. Number two, we follow His attitude. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The greatest attribute that we can demonstrate in our following of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of humility. Now there are those out there that want to tell us something like this. Here's my book on humility. 10 ways that I became humble. Let me tell you about my humility. The Lord Jesus Christ never stated that He was humble. He demonstrated that He was humble. And the Bible says He rose from dinner and took a towel and washed the nasty feet of all the apostles and said, listen, this is what you have seen me do. Now go out and do likewise. Anyone come forward this morning? My feet need some washing. You know, He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, the very feet of the man that was going to run to take that 30 pieces of silver that he might betray the Lord Jesus Christ and be the human instrument by which Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary. God humbled Himself and became flesh. It is best for us to all be silent on this matter and to simply demonstrate with our actions that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it would be seen in our humility. I don't know who that guy's following, but whoever he's following has changed his life. I can see it all over their life. Boy, their life used to be a mess. It was a wreck. They just seem to be torn into shreds, but it just seems like their life is being mended one day after another. It just seems like what was once in darkness has now been brought to the light. What is that, my friend? It is the truth. It is the truth. You see, I do not ask that people look to my life to bring glory to anything that we in and of ourselves would do, but what does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 5? When they see your good works, what do? They glorify your Father which is in heaven. I look at blind followers of blind politicians. I look at blind people that sit in churches all across this country and around this world, and I'm not surprised that it has zero impact on their day-to-day life. But I do not understand why people will sit in fundamental Bible preaching churches and they're exposed to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and they will not be conformed to the image of Christ. It does not make sense. You have all the goods right here at your fingertips. And you can come to the light under the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change the way that you're a husband. He will change the way that you are a wife. He will change the way that you're a dad and the way that you're a mom. He will change the way that you're a church member. He will change the way that you're an employer, an employee. But you must adhere to Jesus Christ. I'm never going to go beyond my master. But what better master to follow than the Lord Jesus Christ himself? It's so interesting in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, before the Bible lays out all of my obligations in my relationships with my fellow man, as a spouse, as a dad, as a wife, as a child, as an employer, as an employee, before it lays out all of those things in the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus Christ declared to the Apostle Paul, "Be filled with the Spirit." I will never be the follower of Jesus Christ until I'm absolutely under his control. I will never be that follower that I ought to be. I'll never be the dad. I'll never be the husband. I'll never be the pastor if I'm not in adherence to the truth of his life working through me. But my friend, I tell you, if you're going to follow someone, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I praise Pastor Wiebe this morning because of the perceived, and I say perceived, reputation that he had when BJ brought him down before the preacher boys. You say, why you use the word perceived? Well, I didn't know Pastor Wiebe. He'd never met me before. I'd never met him before. I didn't know the ins and outs of his life and everything like this. But we were told, here's a man in the faith that you can follow, that you can use as an example of the truth in the pastorate. And so all of us sat there and said, man, this is fantastic. Or we should have sat there and said that. This is great. But you know, now I'm further on in years. And I know where his church stands. And I know the stand that he still takes. And I know how he trained his kids. And I know more of it. And so it's no longer just a perception. It's now a much better understanding. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. You say, Pastor, why do you bring that up? Well, number one, he happens to be here today. And I already told him that we're in the wrong spots. He should be up here and I should be down there. But I say that because I think both he and I could give testimony of other men that were in the same position as he was. And then it was proven out. That they went away from the Word of God. In so many cases, their churches no longer exist. Or if they do exist, they don't exist as fundamental works anymore. It's safe to follow someone that's following the Lord Jesus Christ. But if any one of these categories depart from following the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have to say, I'm staying with the Lord. Can I challenge the young people that might be in a classroom with a professor that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, be very careful. Because that professor, through philosophy of this world, will do their best to lead you away from the Word of God. You better be alert. Oh, Pastor, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool political man. My political party can do no wrong. Can I just say to you right now, you're in trouble? Because political parties can lead blind followings. Oh, Pastor, I'm religious about taping my morning talk show because I have to hear what they have to say. Why? If they say things that are in alignment with the Word of God, praise the Lord, but most time you have to acknowledge that what they say is contrary to the Word of God. And so we must be ever vigilant. We follow His actions, holiness. We follow His attitude, humility. The Christian should be like his master, as one commentator said, holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. He should copy his example and grow into the likeness of his Redeemer. The disciple, as a follower of the Lord, does the same. He denies himself in order to reach the world for his Lord and Savior. Can you do one thing for me this morning as I close? Can you turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3? And I believe that this is a very appropriate ending in a message like this when we consider both verses. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, the blind lead the blind. They both go into the ditch. The disciple will never go beyond his master, but he can hope and pray that he could be as his master. Again, not a direct quote, but just to give you the theme there. In Philippians chapter 3, we have these two verses in living color. In the opening section of Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul's basically saying, I was a blind man following blind leadership. I was following a blind leadership. And with that blind leadership, I was zealously going out to destroy all that named the name of Christ. And I thought, this is the way. I listened to the leadership of the Sanhedrin. I listened to the leadership of the Pharisees. I was most zealous beyond anything else that you could find. But I came to the light. I came to Jesus Christ. And this is his statement as it's related to mending his life, to be in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never ascend beyond his master, but the most he can hope for would be as his master. And look at what he says in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be apprehended for that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Man, I'm telling you what, that ought to energize every single one of us, and it ought to drive us to be more like our master. Man, I look at my life before coming to Jesus Christ. I was a mess. I was blind. I was in darkness. My life needed mending. And I come to Jesus Christ and Jesus says, be followers of me and have your life mended. Have it fixed. Have it corrected. Follow me. And the Apostle Paul said, I'll take that. I'll take that challenge. I'll take that challenge. Look at the world today and who they all want to be like. When I was growing up, everyone wanted to be like Mike. That wasn't Michael Baldwin. I thought much of Michael Baldwin, but it wasn't Michael Baldwin. I want to be like Mike. Everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing wore knee braces. Or knee pads, so I wore knee pads. I wanted to be Patrick Ewing. I wanted to be Michael Jordan. Fortunately, I was no better than Fred Smith. Say, who's Fred Smith? That's exactly right, you know. We all had these visions of being these individuals. I want to be like this. Well, let's just put it right where we all are. I do not want to be blind. I want to see the truth from the Scriptures. I want to follow the truth from the Scriptures. And folks, if you're following someone right now that's blind, you're never going to exceed their blindness. You're going to spend your entirety of life in blindness and darkness. That's a fact. But this morning, you can come to the truth, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Christian, don't try to match the Christianity of the person down at the other end of the row. Don't try to get your kids to match each other's spirituality. Johnny, why can't you be more like Susie? I don't want my sons to compare themselves to each other. I want them to compare themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look to the students, I hope none of you will ever hear me say, Josh, why can't you be more like Caleb? Come on, get your act together. Act more like Caleb. I trust I will never do that to any of you guys. But I do pray that on many occasions you'll hear me say, I want you to be like Christ. Church family, I want you to be like Christ. We're never going to ascend beyond our master. But we all have a master. And I tell you what, he's the master that can mend and change the nature of our direction. I want to match him in his holiness and in his humility. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak this morning. I'm even thinking of the song, they're more like the master. More like the master. I pray that you'd help each one of us. I pray that we'd not look around and compare ourselves to those around us, but I pray that we'd be looking up. Say, my eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ. I want to be like him. I want to follow after him. The Lord has challenged us in our walk. The Lord has challenged us in our talk, and he said, be like me. Be holy, for I am holy. Let this mind be in you. It's a mindset of humility. If there be one this morning that's still dwelling in darkness, they're really truthfully blinded to the need of salvation in their heart. Father, would you right now lift the darkness from their eyes and help them to see the nature of their sin and their need of the Savior? May they understand right now that there's only one way to heaven. It's not found by the name over the church doors. It's not found by good works. It's not found by self-righteousness. It's found only in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Would you right now, in the quietness of this time, would you draw those people that need salvation, would you draw them to yourself? And then I pray for each believer. There is a great wealth of wisdom in these verses. We can pass over them ever so quickly because actually they're very short. I pray that each believer would take stock of those individuals that are influencing their life. Who are they following? Are they following blind leaders? What about the people that are following them? Everybody in this room right now is leading someone. Are we blind in our leadership of others? Lord, I pray that you'd allow the truth to sink in, that you'd have your will and way in this service and invitation this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.